preach the Bible, not my opinion. Amen? And so anything I say, I try to wrap it up in the Scripture. So Proverbs 18, verse 10. There we go. And I'll read the verse here. And again, great crowd today. Appreciate you being here today. And of course, we do have some returning visitors and some first-time visitors. So those of you that are normal folks or that come a lot, make sure you introduce yourself to them. Make them feel at home. We do feel at home because we are. So let's make them feel at home. And so make sure you introduce yourself to them. And so they might want to come back. Amen. So Proverbs 18, verse 10 says here, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And of course, you could preach on that a while. Just His name speaks peace, it speaks power, it speaks a lot of things about Him. But then it goes on to say, and it says here, and the righteous, those of us that are saved, says here, runneth unto it. So in other words, we run to His name, we run to Him, and it goes on to say, and is safe. Now I know this verse goes against a lot of y'all's religion, because it says runneth. All right, and you're like, runneth has passed me by a long time ago. But I'll walketh to the name of the Lord and I'll be saved. Or we could even say, I'll shuffle to the name of the Lord and be saved. And even on down the line, I'll roll, you know, whatever it needs. Somebody carry me. But the thing is if we get around Jesus, we'll be safe. And of course, my baseball brain always does this when I say safe. All right. And so, you know, I'm going to use a baseball analogy this morning to preach. And because baseball was my favorite sport, I played them all. Anything that had a ball, signed me up. That's the way I looked at it. And I mean, I played lots of sports and so forth. But baseball was my favorite, hands down. You know, I could play it pretty decently and things like that and practice hard and so forth. About drove my parents, my grandparents crazy. I know my grandmother, I probably put her in the loony bin. Because if it was raining, I was throwing not a baseball, but a tennis ball off her brick fireplace and catching it over and over and over as she sat there. And just. But anyway, but I played baseball lots. And so this obviously will come easy to me as far as correlating it with the Bible and things like that. And I believe baseball was God's favorite too. And you say, well, where do you get that? It's in the Bible. First verse of the Bible. What did God say? In the big inning. All right. So, ba-doom-tsh. All right. Some of you, an inning is what you play in baseball. Some of y'all, it just went right over. But anyway, God's favorite. And so a man loved baseball so much that he watched it all the time. And I mean, you could even get the MLB package now and just watch it 24/7. You could rewatch it, all that kind of stuff. But this man was watching baseball, and his wife said to him, I think you love me more than you love baseball. Without moving his eyes from the TV, because he was watching that baseball game, he goes, yeah, but you know I love you more than basketball. I don't know if that got him out of the hot seat or not, but anyway, he loved baseball. And we see here that if we run to Jesus, we'll be safe. And that's the whole premise of baseball, running till you get home safe. So that's the title of my sermon today, Safe at Home, Safe at Home. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we all have to serve you, and thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood, making it possible for us to come to heaven. And Lord, we see here that the Bible says that we can run to you, and that's where we're going to be safe. And so I just ask you to help us to listen, or so we can learn something from your word, in Jesus' name, amen. So obviously when I preach this sermon, safe at home, you say, well, I'm already saved. Great. It'll just be a confidence builder. It'll be to let you know that you know, you ought to share this story with others. So it might give you some, I guess, help, some things that you might use. If you are not saved, obviously listen intently, because I'm telling you how you can be safe at home. All right, not home plate, but in heaven. All right, and so in that story, obviously the gospel, the Bible basically says it can be planted. In other words, the first time you hear a clear presentation of the gospel, a clear illustration on how to get to heaven, that may be when it's been planted. And you might not get saved then. So the next time you hear it, you maybe hear it in a different light. We're going to look at it in a baseball light this morning. And that might, what the Bible calls water, that seed that's been planted. All right? But then, obviously, you plant a seed and you water it enough, it'll come up. And the Bible says God gives the increase. And so if obviously if there's somebody here today, I can't save you, but God can. And you can be safe at home. And so we're going to look at that. So I have been safe at home. I'm not in heaven yet, but I've been safe at the baseball plate at home many times. I don't know how many times I've stepped on it and scored a run. It would be hard for me to because I mean, I played it from T-ball to college. And I played it, you know, all kinds of ways. And I've played pickup games. I've played, you know, church picnics. You know, it gets on at a church picnic if you're playing softball, right? Kind of like that ladies board game day. You know, it just gets on. But anyway, I've been safe at home a lot. And I'll give you a couple of ways that I have been safe at home. I've been fortunate enough to hit it over the fence a few times in my day. And y'all know that's called a home run. Okay, so you just, not fast, but maybe a little bit braggadociously, jog those bases and step at home. Safe at home. Then, I've been on maybe, let's say, second base, and one of my teammates hit the ball through through an opening, and I went from second to home in a blink of an eye. Because I was, again, the running thing, I used to could do that very well. I was very fast. And so I could be safe at home on somebody else's base hit. There was a particular time, I was actually on second, and a teammate of mine hit the ball in play. It wasn't caught. It was in play, and I'm coming. And I don't know if it was bottom of the ninth, two outs, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to make it more dramatic than it really is. But we were tied. And it was close to the end of the game. And you know, you don't get a lot of opportunities to score. And so my third base coach, if you've ever played baseball, he was doing this. All right, and what that meant was, don't you stop. You start running from second base and you run all the way to home. And so in my mind, you know, I wasn't looking for the ball. You know, you trust your coach. And he said, you know, and he was doing that. So, I mean, I'm in fifth, sixth gear. I don't know what gear I was in, but I was wide open. And I was swinging out to touch third and head to the house. And so when I got almost a touch to the third, you know, he stopped doing this and he went, give it all you got. And so that meant was the outfielder or whoever already had the ball and it was going to be thrown home to try to get me out. And so if I was in sixth gear, I went to seventh or eighth. I don't know if there is that many gears, but I mean, I was really pumping it. And I knew I was going to have to slide. So all I was deciding was head first or feet first. That time I decided to go feet first. And I probably still have a scar where I peeled the meat off my leg on home. But anyway, the ball was coming, I did slide, and I was looking at the umpire as I was flying by, and to my chagrin or my happiness, I saw him go, safe! All right, and we won. Why? Because I was safe at home. And the Bible basically shows us how we can be safe at home when we get to heaven. I was safe at home. Now, the rules of baseball is the only way to be safe at home is if you touch every base. You got to touch every base. So no matter how far you hit the ball over the fence, if you miss one of those bases, they do what they call an appeal. Now on TV today, they can slow it down. I mean, just screen by screen and find out. But out there on the baseball field when I was playing, it was the ump's decision. So, but I mean, I've seen guys hit it over the fence. I don't know if this ever happened to me, but I've seen guys hit it over the fence. Nobody touched it. It was a home run. But they missed first base, so when he got back cheering, woohoo, home run, the pitcher took the ball, threw it over the first baseman, and the first baseman stepped on first, held up his gloves, held the ball, and the umpire said, he's out! But I hit it over the fence! You're out. I mean, it wasn't just barely over the fence, it was in the parking lot. You're out. I mean, that ball was flying, and I mean, connected, it was gone. I did the little, you know, celebratory jog. My teammates cheered for me. You're out. How? You missed first base. So we see, safe at home. No matter how far you hit it over the fence. Secondly, we see, it doesn't matter how far you hit it. If you don't touch all the bases, you're still out. It doesn't matter how fast you are. They've had what they call an inside-the-park home run. I've had a couple of those. Okay? And usually it has to have a, you know, a mess up out there in the outfield. Carry them off the wall or the fielder bubble it a little bit. But an inside the park home run, I mean, you are motoring. I mean, they're just flying. And I've done that. And I've seen guys do that. Pitcher gets the ball, throws it to second base, they appeal, you're out. But you know how fast I am? I mean, it was like 6.4 seconds that I went from home back to home. Take that, you're out. How in the world? I guess the fastest I've ever seen a human go from home to home was Deion Sanders when he played for the Atlanta Braves. In person, saw it. I mean, it's unbelievable how fast it was. But it doesn't matter how fast you are. If you miss the base, you're out. Here's one. So it doesn't matter how fat or how far you hit it. It doesn't matter how fast you are. Here's another one. It doesn't matter how faulty the other team is. I went from home back to home, not on my own. All right. I hit it, you know, just a blooper or whatever. Shortstop gets it, throws it against the fence. You know, one base on the overthrow is what they make the kids do. But, I mean, that guy grabs it, throws it to second to get me. That guy misses it. Keep on running. And they throw it to third. That guy misses it. I go to home. They throw it to home. Catcher misses it. Safe at home. But in that instance, if the other team was that faulty to make three throwing errors and you went from home back to home, you stepped on the bag. But if you missed third base, the pitcher would throw it to the third baseman would step on, you're out. But they made throwing errors out the wazoo. Did you see all those errors? That's how I got it. I know, but you missed third base. You're out. So it's in the Bible, obviously not the beginning, but there are steps that we have to take. There are bases that we have to touch, or we won't make it safe at home. So we're going to look at those today. So no matter how far we hit it, appeal, out. No matter how fast, appeal, out. No matter how faulty, appeal, out. Maybe you think that I shouldn't use baseball as a preaching topic. All right. Well, Paul, maybe not baseball, but Paul used sports. Paul frequently used sports. And I'll illustrate it just to calm some of you that maybe don't like sports down. I'm just teasing. But anyway, we see here Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:25, "And every man that striveth for masteries." In other words, they are competing for the prize. And if it gets hot in here, fellas, y'all can turn that AC on, whatever y'all think back there. But they were competing for a prize. The Bible says, "If every man that striveth for a mastery is temperate." And I wish that they could use this in our professional sports today. Temperate basically means having self-control. And, you know, a lot of people in the NBA and Major League Baseball and NFL, it's all about them. It's all about me. I got to get my points. I got to get my this. I'm gotta get, and they'll fight at the drop of the hat. But this fight says here, every man that striveth for mastery, you're trying to win the game, but you ought to do it with temperance. It's hard, I know. I'm probably one of the most competitive people I know. You know, if there's two ants going down the sidewalk, I'm going to stop and cheer for one of them. All right? This one's going to make it to the crack first. All right, that's just me. But that's what Paul said. If you're going to strive for mastery, you're going to try to win. Use temperance in all things. Easier said than done. I get it. Now that it, they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown. In other words, they're trying to get the trophy. But we an incorruptible. So Paul used sports to illustrate the Christian life. I mean, I don't know where my trophies are. I got a lot of them. I think they went from a shelf to a cardboard box to the basement to who knows where. All right, so they are corruptible. But the Bible says that we can obviously win a crown when we get to heaven that will be incorruptible, rewards that we can cast at Jesus' feet. So Paul talked about winning trophies. Secondly, he talked about being in tip-top shape. Anybody that's in tip-top shape, it will help you in sports, I promise. You don't play shortstop with one of those pinchers that grab, you know, so you don't have to bend over. I'd like to see somebody try that. That ball coming 105 miles an hour, choo, catch it with that little thing so they didn't have to bend over and then get somebody to run it over to first for them. No, you usually have to bend over, scoop it, and throw it. So you had to be in tip-top shape. And that's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. Okay, it's good to be in shape. It will help you live longer. It will help you be able to do more. But it says, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of this life that is now, that now is, and that which is to come. So if you live godly, God will bless you here and there when you're safe at home. So Paul used it talking about trophies. Paul used it talking about being tip-top shape. But he also used it talking about those that were tuning in. And some of us, you know, I was the remote control when I was a kid. We didn't have this. We had click, 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 click. So my dad sat in his recliner like dads do. But instead of doing this, he would say, hey, go flip. Oh, go back. Go. So I was the remote. And then I also, you know, had to do the rabbit ears, put some tinfoil on it, put a coat hanger in it. And then we got real fancy. We had a real antenna. But I had to lift the window, twist the pole. Whoa, go back. Okay. All right. But again, but there were people tuning in. Paul said that. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Okay, so heaven is watching. Now, I know the Bible indicates that Hebrews 11, all the people in the faith chapter, great faith chapter, are watching. I don't know if there's more. I don't know. Obviously, we know that Jesus is watching. His eyes are in every place. Behold the evil and the good. So we know that there's people watching in the grandstand. So it says, we're also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. Okay, so if you're going to run track, you probably don't want to do it in your hunting boots, in your waders, in your hunting coat. No, you put on track shoes and a Speedo, right? That's what they do. But anyway, I wouldn't recommend it. You get as light as possible. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So Paul talked about trophies. He talked about being in tip-top shape, and he also talked about those tuning in. So in the light of the Scriptures, I believe it's okay, not that I had to do that, but I wanted to, talk about touching every base. Because salvation, it's planted, it's watered, it will be reaped if God gives the increase. But all of us are commanded to soul win, so talk about these bases. Every one of us will at least understand the truth that I'm trying to teach today. And touching all the bases. Anybody need me to go into any detail about touching first base, second base, third base? And you have to do it in that order. I've seen little kids, you know, out at T-ball, granny's recording them. They hit it and they start going to third as fast as they can. Everybody's, whoa, now go this way. So the little kid goes out by first base, or about the pitcher's mound, gives him a high five. Then he might eventually make it over to first. So there is an order that we have to do it. And don't get it out of order. So we have to do it, like I said. So most every one of us will understand that. There was another young lady, the one that got told that her husband loved her more than basketball. But there's another young lady that went to a baseball game with her boyfriend. But they got there late. So I don't know if it was his fault, her fault. We won't go into that. I don't want to start a fight. But they were late. And so she's like, what's the score? And, you know, most baseball games, he looked at the scoreboard and he said, anybody? 0-0. Nothing to nothing. She goes, oh, we haven't missed anything yet. You got to think about that one. All right. There was probably a great diving play. There was probably a home run pulled back in. You know, there was probably a mean curveball that had the guy jump. I mean, you missed a lot, lady. But anyway, she didn't think they missed anything because it was 0-0. So some people don't get it. So to be safe at home, you have to touch all the bases. So this is the rules. Whoever made up baseball made that rule up. So to some, they hear that Jesus died on the cross so we can go to heaven. Doesn't make sense to them. So somebody that's never heard of baseball, well, you got this ball, you throw it, this guy takes a bat, he hits it, what's a bat? Well, it's this thing, he holds it, and you hit it, and they catch it with a glove, what's a glove? Then you run the bases, what's bases? If somebody's hearing about baseball for the first time, it probably doesn't make sense. So a lot of people hear that story, especially a young child. Jesus died on the cross so we could go to heaven. What? How's that work? Well, that's the rules. God wrote the rule book. He said that God and sin can't be together. They're separated. All men are sinners, so we're separated from God. So I had to have Jesus go down the cross to pay for the sins. He made up the rules. So, well, I think you ought to be able to run in whatever order you want to. I think you ought to be able to go to second, and then over to third, then back to first, and then come home. I just think that's the way it should be. Tough. It's not, okay? You can't do it. And so same thing here. Well, I think you ought to be able to get to go to heaven just because you want to, or just because you love people, or just because you, do good deeds. Sorry. The rules are you have to touch every base to be safe at home. The rules are you have to do what God says to be safe into heaven. So you must be born again in John 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into heaven. Just like baseball. A person touches every base, he cannot be safe at home. No matter what the rule. I hit it a long ways. I'm fast. This team stinks. I can get an overthrow, just keep going. Sorry. The rule is you got to touch every base. So Nicodemus asked Jesus, how do you get to heaven? You got to be born again. I get it. That born again, it even confused Nicodemus. What do you mean? Shrink back down, go back into my mom, start this thing over again? No. Born of the water, born of the Spirit. You have to have two birthdays to get to heaven. To be safe at home, you got to have two birthdays. I don't understand. I hit it over the wall. I don't understand. I'm fast. I don't understand. They threw overthrows like crazy. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, a natural man, let's talk about an unsaved man here, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So a person that's not saved, a person that doesn't know the rules, the person that has never heard it will not understand. If you tell baseball rules to a person that doesn't know what baseball is, they're not going to get it the first time. You have to explain, that's what plant, water. Oh, I get it. You hit that roundy thingy with that long skinny thingy and you knock it out that way and yeah, you're getting it. All right, so same thing. Jesus says, first base is this, second base is this, third base is this. You'll be safe at home. So tell me. So that's exactly what Nicodemus in John chapter 3. I understand, I get it. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, unsaved, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So in other words, when we first start reading the Bible, especially all the these and the thous, I don't talk like that, and I don't understand what that means. Okay, that's what it's saying. Here's baseball rules. You got to do this, this. What? You don't get it at first. But if you hear it again, and again, and again. But then, obviously, the key is in 1 Corinthians 2:14 here, Paul's telling the church at Corinth, okay, what you need is some inside help. Usually, on a baseball team, football team, basketball team, usually, the coach's son is the best player. Most of the time. Why? Because he lives with the coach. Right? He gets it over and over. Son, okay, chillax, Dad. Okay, we're good. All right? Usually. Now, there are some, the dad's out there because he wants his son to be good. So, usually. All right? But, obviously, sometimes the coach's son is the best player. Why? Because they got inside help. They know what to do. They've been taught not just at practice, but 24/7. Same thing here. That's what Paul's saying here to the church at Corinth. Look, read your Bible and keep reading it and keep reading it and keep reading it. You'll get it. But you need some inside help. Get the Holy Spirit inside there. He'll teach you. The Bible is a book that would be better understood if you knew the author. So sometimes you read a book and maybe it's a lifelong friend. And when they're telling those stories, you're seeing it because you were right there beside them. You knew the author. You knew what they were talking about. So Acts 8 records the story about the Ethiopian eunuch. And he's reading Isaiah 53. And so he's sitting there, and we know the story. Obviously, Philip's preaching a revival, and the Holy Spirit tells him to go out in the desert. And it doesn't make sense to him. I'm preaching to hundreds here. You want me to go out there where there's just animals? Yeah, go. Right? So he obeyed. But lo and behold, when he gets there, there's one Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading Acts chapter 8. Never been to church. Never heard about Jesus. All this stuff, and he starts reading. He was wounded for our transgressions. Don't get it. He was bruised for our iniquities.
Why?
The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Stripes. We've got pinstripe pajamas. What? I don't get it.
All we like sheep. I'm not a sheep. Have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
I have no clue what that means.
And lo and behold, here comes Philip. Understand what you're reading?
No.
Never heard it before. And then he also said, how can I unless some man show me? Philip said, hey. It says right there, you keep reading in Isaiah 53, or I guess in Acts 8, where it says, and Peter began to preach Jesus unto him. He was explaining to him what the wounded of the transgressions meant, and what the bruise for the iniquities meant, and what the stripes meant, and all that stuff. He explained it to him, and Philip's like, the Ethiopian eunuch, I get it now. So what did he do? He explained the rules to the Ethiopian eunuch. You've got to touch all three bases to be safe at home. So every player hits the ball out of the park, has to touch all three bases, or he won't be safe at home. A lot of Christians think they're going to get to heaven because of their good works. There's going to be an appeal, and you're going to be out. A lot of people think they're going to get to heaven because they got dunked. But there's going to be an appeal, and you're going to be out. A lot of people think they're going to be into heaven because they're a Baptist, or they're a Methodist, or they're a Catholic, and I could keep on going. But there's going to be an appeal, and they're going to be out. Well, I gave to missions. Well, that's great. But there's going to be an appeal, and you're going to be out. And I could just keep on going. A lot of people think they're going to heaven because I hit the ball out of the park. Well, I'm very fast. There were so many errors. I'm safe at home. No, you're not. You're out. So, first base. First base. I think I've just put it up. Sorry about that. First base is admitting that you're a sinner. Admitting that you're a sinner. Luke 5:32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So there's going to be millions of people that's disqualified or out of heaven because they didn't touch first base. They would not admit that they were a sinner. I'm pretty good. I never killed anybody. You know, I try to help people. Well, you're still a sinner. It's kind of like this. There was a beauty pageant, and there was lots of unbelievable prizes. I mean, like expensive ones. There was only one catch. It was for 40 and above. And there wasn't a lady there. Lots of beautiful ladies could have won with their beauty and won those prizes, but nobody would admit that they were over 39. There's people like that. My granddad was that at 39. I'm not having any more birthdays. And so he was 39 when he was 89 when he passed away. 39. They wouldn't admit it. So a lot of people just won't admit that they're a sinner. That's first base. So you're trying to be safe at home. You got to go over there and touch first base and say, I'm a sinner. You must be. You got to admit that. I'm looking back for the... I think I skipped ahead. Let me check this out real quick. There we go. Yes, here we go. Yep, first base. You got to be able to do that. And that's what the Ethiopian eunuch was said in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. And that verse says all we. It didn't exclude anybody. All. But I'm moral. But I'm pure. I'm clean. I'm obedient. I'm honest. I'm trustworthy. I have great character. The Bible says, all we like sheep. In the New Testament, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Obviously, that come short of the glory of God is, we would have to be as good as God to get into heaven on our own merit. We all fall short of that. In basketball, the goal is to make it in the goal. Sometimes it's short and it hits the front of the rim. In shooting at a bullseye, the goal is to hit the bullseye. But we know that's hard to do. And there's people that, let's say they were shooting their bow at a target, and the goal was to hit the bullseye. And the one guy was a 1/16 of an inch off. He missed the bullseye. The other guy was 16 feet off. They still hadn't found that error. All right. But they both missed. But I was the closest. Heaven, I wouldn't do the horseshoes and the hand grenade thing for heaven. I want to be safe at home. Okay, so if you miss it a 16th of an inch or 16 feet, you still missed. So millions of people will be disqualified for that. Here's one. I don't know if it still is, but back when I played sports, you had to have a 70% average in all your grades to play. Or they wouldn't let you play. This guy had a 69%. I should be able to play. No, you can't. But I'm just 1 point away. You can't. Here's a guy who had a 35%. I'm the best athlete. I should be able to play. You got a 35, pal. Okay, but the 69% and the 35%, same boat. They don't have a 70. They're out. They can't play. James 2:10 says this, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all." So God wrote the rule book. If we commit one sin, it's like we've committed every sin. Touch first base, you got to admit that you're a sinner. Second base, you got to know there's a price on sin, but Jesus paid it for you. You got to know that there's a price on sin, but Jesus paid it for you. It's called a sacrifice. We're talking about baseball this morning. There is a rule in baseball called a sacrifice. I'll give you just a little short snippet of it. There's a guy on first base, pretty fast. Usually you don't sacrifice for the catcher, right, or the slowest person on the team. But if he's fast on first base, you sacrifice. It's called a bunt sacrifice. You lay the bunt down, usually away from whoever's got the best arm, and you pretty much let him go to second, and you're going to be out. I mean, unless you're really, 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 really fast. Right? Called a sacrifice. You gave yourself up so he could get to second. What did Jesus do? He laid down his life like a baseball player lays down a bunt. And he gave himself for us. Why? So we could be safe at home. He sacrificed himself. So a sacrifice is when you ball, you give yourself up. Jesus gave himself up so that we could go to heaven. So first base was admit you're a sinner. Second base is, hey, there's a payment for my sin. But Jesus died for me. It's called a substitutionary death. Got a couple verses here that prove that. A substitutionary death basically means he died in my place. I deserve that because of my sins. I deserve to die. But he's like, it's not my will that any should perish. I'm going to die in their place. And he did that for the entire world. Substitutionary death. He sacrificed himself. Isaiah 53:6, where the Ethiopian was reading. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. So basically God took the sins of the entire world and put them on Jesus when he was on the cross. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch found out. 1 John 2:2, and he is the propitiation. I know that's not a word we use a lot. Substitutionary, in our place, paid our payment. Propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24, talking about Isaiah 53. So we see here, he died for us. Last one, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous in God in him. So the guy that sacrificed himself, he was going to be out. But the guy on first base went to second on his sacrifice. And so if he came around to score, it wasn't because he hit it. It wasn't because he had done great things. But it was because of the sacrifice, he made it safe home. So Jesus died on the cross to make it possible for us to be safe at home. And not only did he lay down a bunt, but here's another baseball term. I believe Jesus hit a walk-off. All right, a walk-off. A walk-off in our day and time is basically like a buzzer beater in basketball. 3, 2, 1, let her fly. You know, most of us is like, ugh. But 3, 2, 1, let her fly. Whoosh, nothing but net. Ah! That's what a walk-off is. In some of our vernacular today, a mic drop. In other words, say something so funny or something such a cut down. Boom. Mic drop. That's it. I'm all done. A walk-off home run is basically you're losing, or maybe you're tied, or maybe you're losing by one and there's one person on, and you hit it out of the park. Walk-off home run. What did Jesus say? It is finished. When he was on the cross. Buzzer beater, best mic drop ever, walk-off home run. It is finished. I was the propitiation. I was the substitutionary death. I paid for their sins. It's finished. Walk-off home run to make it possible for all of us to be safe at home. First base, admit you're a sinner. Second base, admit that there's a price on sin, but Jesus paid it for me. Here's third base, almost home. 90 feet away, 60 if you play softball. 90 feet away, third base. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What Philip tell the? Or what John, or Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. What did Philip tell the Ethiopian eunuch? Believest with all your heart. They were both told that you got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Just like we talked about. You know, earlier, if you'd never heard the gospel and you heard Jesus died so you'd go to heaven. In my little brain at 10 years old, I'm thinking heaven. Okay, it's up there. All right. Trampoline, nah. Pogo stick, ladder, And then later I read that they tried to build a tower to get there. But my brain thought airplane, rocket ship, that'd be cool. Because we're trying to figure it out, how to get home safe. But the Bible says, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Done. Safe at home. Third base is just accept Him. And here it is. You know, I can believe in an airplane all day long. I believe that's an airplane. I'm looking at it. I believe that airplane can fly from here to wherever. But when do I really trust it? When I get in it and let it take me. Same thing, I believe in Jesus. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. So you got to put your faith in Him. You got to get in Him. It has to be that second birthday. So, He says here, believe, admit you're a sinner. Admit that there's a price on sin and Jesus paid it. But then just ask Him. Romans 10:13, for whosoever, you can put your name there, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's third base, calling upon the name of the Lord. First base, admit you're a sinner. Second base, know there's a price on sin, but Jesus paid it for me. Third base, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin and come into my heart and save me. Whoosh, safe at home. Now, the umpire gets to make the final decision. That's what he's watching for. I've seen stuff in baseball that's just not fair. In other words, there was a ball hit, let's say down the right field line. The right fielder was cheating over towards center field, but here he comes. I mean, he's full speed. I mean, he's just booking it. And I mean, right inside the foul line, he catches the ball. Whoa! Dude's out. But he takes two steps after home, or out of bounds. Wham! Hits the wall. Drops the ball. Dude's not out. Well, he caught it. He caught it inbounds. Went out of bounds, hit the wall, dropped it. The guy's safe. That's the rules. I've seen guy coming around third, give it all you got. And here's the catcher, man, he's looking, he's ready for the ball. He catches the ball, tags applied. Collision. Ball rolls out over there. Safe! That's not fair, the catcher caught it. It's not fair, he ran over to the catcher. The rules. Umpire gets the final decision. I've seen home runs pulled back in. The guy jumps up on the wall, reaches over, grabs it, pulls it back. I hit it over the wall. Sorry, you're out. Umpire gets to make the final decision. And again, a lot of people need to realize that. You know, we're in the stands. Oh, come on up. Need my glasses. Where's that temperate? Anyway, so rules. Umpire gets to make the final decision. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't want to go to hell. The rules say, well, that's not fair. It wasn't. We don't deserve to go to heaven. But Jesus made it possible for us to be safe at home. But we got to get our name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Matthew 7, 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These guys were saying, Jesus, we preached sermons about you. You know, we went to the mission field. We did all these things, but you didn't touch first base. You missed second. And you never got the third. So you can't be safe at home, no matter what you did. I hit it a long ways. You're out. I'm fast. You're out. This team stinks. It was like throwing error after throwing error. You're out. So it doesn't matter what they say. Here's verse when they get to heaven. We preached in Jesus' name. We're getting in. You're out. We passed out tracts. You're out. We supported missionaries. You're out. The key is touch first base and admit you're a sinner. Touch second base and know there was a price on that sin, but Jesus paid it for you. And third base, easy as pie. Call upon Him and ask Him to save you. And you won't even have to slide. They'll just say, come on in. That's awesome when you can land on home plate like that. No cuts. No bruises, no dirty uniform. My mom loved that. Don't slide. They're white uniforms. Who thought of that? In Georgia, it was red clay everywhere. Man, you touch that stuff and you got a pink outfit on. White and red, pink. You know, they should make brown uniforms if you're going to slide in the dirt. But anyway, just another thing I'm just bringing up about baseball. I didn't ever have to wash a uniform. My mom did a great job. Anyway. So we see here, safe at home. So today, if you're not saved, you can be saved and be safe at home. If you are saved, use this. The rule book says you got to touch first, you got to touch second, you got to touch third. Easy to explain it to them, like Nicodemus and like the Ethiopian eunuch. Both of them got saved. Why? Because they were explained the rules. And you can be safe at home. In conclusion, I'll give you just a little 3-point thing here. Safe at home. In my brain, safe at home is Luke 15:27 talks about the prodigal son. And what did he do? He came home. He said, man, those servants over at my dad's house, they eat 3 squares. They got snacks. I'm going home to be a servant. But obviously he was kissed on the neck, hugged, fatted calf, party. He was safe at home. Our homes ought to be safe for our kids. Keep stuff out that'll hurt them. Make it safe at home, as your home. This is called the house of God. It ought to be safe in here. Matthew 16:18 says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against this. Now inside here we can backbite, get in arguments, and we can destroy ourselves from the inside out. But the Bible says the gates of hell can't prevail. We're safe at home. Obviously, John 14:2 says, I go to prepare a place for you. And where I go, you can come also. And you can be safe at home. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to come and sing his invitation. Obviously, if you'd like to come pray, thank God for a safe home. Thank God the day you got saved. Just come thank Him for it. If you're not saved and you'd like to be, come. I'll show you from the Bible how you can touch first base, touch second base, touch third base, and be safe at home. Brother Derek.